may be seated.
Wow. Amen. All right, now look at me and answer this question. Don't you feel better?
Yes.
That was awfully weak. Don't you feel any better? Yes. Come on. That is wonderful. Alan, praise the Lord for the way God has given you such a talent. I needed that. That is just absolutely wonderful. Well, these have been strange days over the year 1920. Yeah. You see this, Snow on the Mountain? Sometimes I go into places and I'm only the only Q-tip there, is what it is. But this morning, I am glad to be here. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and He's given us strength to be here. And I've thought about all these things that we faced last year in coming together. And Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." This was a psalm that was written by David for the dedication of the temple. That was verse 5. Verse 11 is absolutely phenomenal. Of course, every verse in the Bible is phenomenal, right?
It is.
Yeah. Is that why you skip Leviticus?
Yeah.
How many of you have leprosy? No. Praise God, we don't have it. Okay. Verse 11 says this, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." I tell you, there ought to be an aura about Christians when Christians walk into the room. There ought to be something that happens differently when Christians walk into the room. Now, you've been in rooms, and I've been in rooms where people walked in, and I felt like a cloud walked in. It ought to be right the opposite for us. So this morning, I just got to thinking about what is a message that needs to encourage us, because we've had so many, I don't know if you call them storms, upheavals, whatever you want to call them. We've had this world pandemic of COVID. We've had financial insecurity that's heightened our emotions and given us insecurity. We've had social instability in our cities. We've had spiritual darkness that we've been pushing back again and again and again. And the devil seems to be pushing more and more toward us. And there's the enemy of our soul. And you know John 10:10, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes I feel like he kills my joy. In fact, this last year, when I look back, I have to do mental gymnastics, spiritual mental gymnastics. Because every day I was tuning into the news, and the news was getting worse and worse and worse, and my joy was going down and down and down. And finally, it came to me. The Spirit came to me and said, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And my joy was being destroyed. And, you know, all of us have had friends and family who died because of this COVID thing. And there's been this, what do you say, a spirit of grief that has come. It's not just us. It has come upon our nation, and there's a spirit of grief, and I'm not going to give in to the devil with this, because we've been separated. We've had masks. We've had to put our hands on glass for the loved ones on the other side to touch back, and I don't know. I just thought, wow, this has been... Okay, I'm 74 years old, or I'll be 74 years old next month. Mm-hmm. This has been the worst year of my life. It has been. But at the same time, this is the strange thing that's happened to me. At the same time, this has been so bad emotionally and everything. God has refreshed my soul when I sought Him in a deeper way than ever before. I think what happened around me caused me to turn to Him even more. And I look around and I think God's getting the word out. I think that there are a lot of things that are happening that God is absolutely getting the word out. So let me pray for us. God, here we are. We just need You. That's what we need. We need a good dose of You. So God, would You restore the joy of our salvation? Would you renew us, a right spirit in us? Would you help us to be steadfast in all these clouds that come in? Would you cause us to enjoy your word more than we've ever enjoyed before? And would you cause us to rejoice and be glad because you've opened up our hearts, our minds, our lips this morning in this place to praise you? Let our hearts rejoice in your goodness because your love is absolutely consistent. Mend those fractured relationships that's happened during this year because we've been separated from one another and we've been polarized. Lord, let us take delight in your presence and your unfailing love. And thank you for being our defense in the days of darkness and our joy in the midst of confusion. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, did you come this morning with an expectation, expecting God to speak to you?
Yes.
Or did you just show up? I mean, really, sometimes, you know, we get in a rut. It's the thing to do on Sunday morning because we come and we park in the same place. We sit in the same seat. We could take attendance in here. People come and sit in the same, and by the way, I can hit a moving target, so if you move, I know where you are. So, you know, all of this has come around us, and I'm just expecting God to speak to me because of all of these emotions. Now, I know I do kind of strange things, but because I was thinking about this message, and I didn't want to start in a negative way, and I wanted to start in a positive way, I just thought about what happened in 1937. Haven't you been thinking about what happened in 1937? I wasn't there. But Walt Disney was. So was Snow White. So were the Seven Dwarfs. And I just thought about, you know, I've seen people in and out of my life that remind me of the Seven Dwarfs. So I'm going to read to you my interpretation of the Seven Dwarfs. Not Christian Seven Dwarfs, okay? But see if any of these hit you. Oh, can you name the Seven Dwarfs? I couldn't. So I Googled them. That's how I knew the movie was in 1938. Okay, the first one is Dopey. Dopey plays tricks, he's fun-loving, and he's hard to get focused. Now, I have known people like that. You too have. The second one is Bashful. Bashful is shy, self-conscious, and reserved. The third one is Sneezy. Now, Sneezy does have a problem because Sneezy can't hide. That's why they call him Sneezy. Every time he tries to hide, he sneezes. And Sneezy cannot keep his emotions to himself because if he disagrees with something that's going on, he starts sneezing. So he gives away his attitude and he gives away his location. The fourth one is Sleepy. Now, what word would go with Sleepy? Lazy. He is lazy. He doesn't get much work done. But he has an opinion about everything and what the rest of the dwarves ought to be doing. The fifth one is Doc. Now, I kind of like Doc. Doc's not my favorite, but I kind of like Doc. Doc thinks a little bit more carefully than anybody else. The other dwarfs look to him to solve the problem, but he gets caught up in processing his thoughts, and it's hard for him to come to a resolution of the problem, and the other dwarfs get frustrated with him, trying to get him to do the leadership. And he's just kind of falling by the wayside. The sixth one, now everybody, if you don't have this one in your family, God bless you. You know who I haven't gotten to yet? Grumpy. Grumpy. Now you can imagine which side of the bed Grumpy gets up on every morning, right? Grumpy gets up, no matter what you say, he's always complaining. He's just one of those cantankerous, testy individuals. I know you're thinking about a person. I am too, you know. Would you like for me to read the list of all those that are testy, cantankerous, and they have their own opinion, and the world's entitled to their opinion?
No.
No, thank you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But did you know that there is an eighth dwarf? I didn't know this either till I Googled the seven. And there's an eighth one. The eighth one is called Crazy, and he does appear in one of the cartoons. And he has very little people skills. He's self-centered. He demands that his opinion be heard, and he's always pouring cold water on anything that changes. Right? Now, those of you that have been listening carefully, I've skipped one.
Yes, you have.
I went from six to eight. Who did I skip?
Happy.
Happy, yes. Now, that is my favorite one. Happy is, this is happy right here. Happy is cheerful, he's an encourager, he's a helper, he's full of joy, and he's kind of everybody's favorite. He's my favorite. Did you know that our scriptures mentions happiness and cheerfulness and gladness and merriment and pleasure and celebration and cheer and laughter and delight and jubilation and feasting and blessing and exuberance more than 2,600 times? And yet we walk into a room and it doesn't light up. I want you to know the Bible is not a commentary on God hanging out waiting to catch you doing something bad. I am here to tell you the Bible is a book about God wanting to delight in you and you delight in Him. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. I will
rejoice
and be glad in it. The scriptures are just full of these things, and we read over them and we don't process them. Now listen to this. The link to happiness and joy for you and for your friends is scripture and prayer. Now, let me just share with you, if you've got your Bibles or you've got your electronics, that you can go to Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to read to you something from Nehemiah chapter 8 about scripture and the joy that it ought to bring to us. Nehemiah 8 verse 1 says this. And by the way, who is Nehemiah? He was the one sent by Artaxerxes. He begged permission to go and to restore the walls in Jerusalem because the walls had been plundered. The Israelites had been in Babylonia 7 years in exile, and Nehemiah is asking for supplies and permission to go back and rebuild the walls. This is at the end of that. The walls have been rebuilt. The Israelites have resettled the area, and this is a celebration. So the Israelites had settled their towns, and all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. He told Ezra, now who is he? This is Nehemiah. Nehemiah told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened the book, the people all stood up, and Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, with all the people lifting up their hands and responding, Amen and Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, the governor, I guess he was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, so now he's built the wall, so he's become the governor of the area. Now Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the law, priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites were instructing the people and said to them all, this is a holy day to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go up and enjoy chosen food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who've not been prepared. This day is a holy day to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that amazing? There it is. The walls have been down. The walls are back up. Israel's moved back into the territory. They called for the book of the law of Moses to be read. When it was read, the people listened attentively. Even when the book of the law was read, the people stood and they got caught up in praise and they started saying amen. They bowed down. They worshiped God. And what did God do? He infused their soul with joy. They couldn't contain it. I mean, really, they had to do something. They lifted up their hands. They said, amen, amen. Then they got down on their knees, and then they put their face to the ground. They worshiped the Lord. So I am telling you, the link between happiness and joy, or the link to happiness and joy, is this scripture and prayer, knowing God. Now, who do you want to be? Which one of those? Grumpy? Happy? Sleepy? We got to be careful about giving one another names. We need to say, there is happy. He's happy in the Lord. There ought to be an aura about us. Then who do you want to be? Well, you have to want to be happy to be happy. It doesn't just come. You have to want to be happy to be happy. Let me tell you about a couple of gifts of God. Scripture and prayer is a gift from God. It wasn't your idea. Scripture and prayer was God's idea. Scripture and prayer was God's idea to connect us with Him. Scripture and prayer was God's idea to give us some riverbanks, some boundaries for our lives so that we could what? Enjoy our lives. Enjoy. Be in joy about our lives. But did you know Americans are some of the saddest people on earth now? In the last 50, I don't know who did the Associated Press reported this, but over the last 50 years, they've kind of tracked the happiness factor of the United States. We've never been under 29%. We're at 14%. Only 14% of Americans are happy. I cannot believe that we are so pessimistic. Look at what we've been blessed with. Well, God said, hey, I know how to solve that problem. And I've already solved that problem for you. You have to appropriate the problem solver to have your problem solved. That may sound kind of strange, but it is. And this is the scripture right here, John 15:15-17. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will send you comforter, advocate. You know what the real word is? It's a come alongsider. When you go to the Greek and you break down the compound word that's there, parakletos, you get the interpretation of the one who comes alongside. See, I'm telling you, God solves our problems before we even know we have a problem. Then we get in the problem and we forget that God's already solved the problem. Because we start looking at the pandemic, or we start looking at the finances, or we start looking at things that are happening around us. And in verse 17, he goes on to say, the Spirit of truth, this is this come alongsider. The world cannot accept him because neither can they see him, nor do they know him. But you know him, for the come alongsider lives with you and in you. That's the Holy Spirit of God has come to live in the believer, the one who has surrendered his life to Christ. Every person needs somebody to come alongside them. I think maybe that's why Genesis said it's not good for man to be alone. But he knew he wouldn't pick up his shoes, he wouldn't pick up his underwear, he wouldn't pick up anything. You have to have somebody pick up after you. But the truth is, it's not good for anybody to be alone. We need to come alongside her. And God has given us that very, very person. How long has it been since you've had a personal cheerleader? Oh, dear friends, I grew up I grew up as a grandpa with cheerleaders. And our granddaughters have rejoiced in cheerleading ever since I can remember. I mean, they've had the little FSU cheerleading outfits. I don't know when they got those. I just praise God they went to some other school. But my daughter-in-law was the coach of the year for Osceola County 3 years ago because she was the cheerleading coach, and they went to nationals and they won national cheerleading, whatever it was, way on up there. And so I'm a happy cheerleader for a cheerleader. I cheer them on. Just 2 weeks ago, Christy finished her 8 years of being the cheerleading coach. She's had these girls all the way through, and at Celebration High School is where she is. And we just celebrated. I think they came in fifth this year in nationals. So we're happy. But how many times have you needed a cheerleader? When you get grumpy, when you get bashful, when you get like Doc and it takes too long for you to process, that's when you need a cheerleading coach. And that Holy Spirit is our cheerleader. He's the one that comes alongside us. And so the link to this is the scripture, the prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Who is it that sharpens each other? The Spirit of God is the one who brings out the best in all of us who are believers. Third thing that I want to say this morning is, what's your first step toward joy? What is your first step toward joy? Well, I want to tell you, the first step toward joy is a hard step, because it's this: be patient and make allowances for others who are not as good as you. We have a higher opinion of ourselves than we really are. See, we too have faults. We have blind spots. We have things that have crept into our life. You say, how do you know that? Because Matthew explained it to us in Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the beam that is in your own eye? How can you say that to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when at all the time you have a plank in your eye? You're a hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly how to remove the speck of sawdust from the other brother's eye. We just have these blind spots that have come on us. Our culture has told us that we could have it our way, and we're imperfect people. We Americans, we have entitlements, we have rights, we have freedoms, and we're consumed with all of that, yet we're unhappy. 14% of us are the only ones that are happy. There is a generation that is fascinated with approval from other people, and that's the only way that they get their happiness, is how many friends they have, how many tweets that are retweeted, how many thumbs up that they get, how many likes on a post. Let me tell you what, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not what social media tells me or how many people are following me. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, and do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of all positions and low positions. Do not be conceited. You know what that's about? It's about this word respect. And so if we're going to link life to joy and happiness with the scripture, with prayer, and with the Holy Spirit, then we have a responsibility of respecting other people. So the first thing to understanding respect is, understand you are not perfect. You do have blind spots. You do have an ego. You do have feelings that get hurt. And you do have, if you're a believer, the come alongsider, the one who will come alongside you to help you respect others. Now, how do you respect others? Say hello. Don't live to yourself. Smile. You get up in the morning. Please, I'm asking you, this is your homework. Get up in the morning, go to the mirror, and look in the mirror, and smile. Just stand there and smile. Practice your smiling. And then say, I feel good. And if you only say, I feel good, and you smiled, you missed it. Say, I feel good. I feel great. I feel fantastic. And I guarantee you, when you finish it with this, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You will feel different. I know you say, well, you don't have the same bed that I have. And when I have to get up in the morning, I hear these bones crack. Well, put a little get up and go in your crack. Make it happen. We have succumbed to displeasure. We have. So this is what Paul says to us right here. In Philippians is one of my favorite Bible books. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, with joy. Amen. Praying in the spirit of joy. And he goes on to say this, why can I pray for you in the spirit of joy? Because your partners in ministry, he says, for you I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and because of your partnership in the gospel and my joy that I have for you, I am confident that the very thing that God started in you, God will complete in you. Yes. All right, everybody look at me.
Amen.
I am I'm talking to you. I am confident the very thing God started in Neptune Baptist Church, I don't know how many years ago, God wants to bring to completion, and he is at work in this now, and he has not forsaken us, and he is in the middle of us right now, and some of you are acting grumpy when you ought to be in a hallelujah happiness state. That's what it ought to be. And we ought not to believe the devil when he says, you're not that good. Well, we're not, but he is. The one we are related to is. And he brings us together. And when we pray, we ought to pray in a spirit of joy. I thank God for where he put me in the middle of this. I am so glad to be with you. I'm called to be with you. Now, I will always tell you the truth. And you may not always like that.
We will.
But I will be truthful to you.
Amen.
Because he didn't bring me here to pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. You're good. But he brought me here for us to go down a discipleship path. And by the way, first step to your discipleship path, some of you are already delinquent. You didn't show up for life group. That's the first step. The first step. You've got to go. It's not an option. God meets you there like he does here. He has prepared that teacher, or at least he wanted that teacher prepared. Get those teachers prepared and let them overflow into your life. You're to be there with people who love you, people who encourage you, people who will pray for you, and people who will walk with you in a crisis. And you get to ask questions there. You don't get to ask questions while I'm here, up here. But you get to ask questions. Now, don't make it a pooling of ignorance either. I've been in those classes where everybody's had their opinion, and most of them are wrong. Stick to this. This is the Bible.
Amen.
Don't opt out on God meeting you in life group. Did y'all get that message?
Yes, sir.
I told you I'd tell you the truth, and I just told you truth number one. Now, how many of you plan on acting on that? Pitiful. Hands up. Come on. You need Bible study. What did I say? God meets us and causes us to have joy when we're in Bible study, when we're in prayer, when the come alongsider is helping us with our lives. This is it. This is what I am talking about right here. Help. This should be what I'm fixing to read to you. Should be a description of life group, okay? Helping others, nurturing relationships, reserving judgment. I don't like the way he dresses. He parked in my parking place. I'm not going to sit by him. You reserve judgment, do good for someone, listen to others without interrupting them, smile, use encouraging words, and be patient. That ought to be the description of a life group. Now, that's the kind of place I want to hang out. I've come to hang out with you because God's given me permission to come to hang out with you. Let's hang out with Him, the come alongside her. And let us move forward and not stand in the way of God wanting to do something. Now, do you want a fresh experience with God? Nurture those relationships. You and the come alongside her, nurture the relationship in those life groups. And let me kind of bring this to a close, because there are some people who are just, they're on the fringe. I got to tell you this. Look at my eyes. I got to tell you this one. I love you.
Thanks.
Would you receive that? I love you.
Amen.
I'm on a journey. I'm going to get to love you better. But there's some people that's hard to love. I'm going to love you anyway. But I am going to put your name on my list.
God bless you.
Thank you. It was 4:30 in the morning on November the 10th, 2008. Eben Alexander had had a virus for several days. And he thought the pain that he was experiencing in his brain was from the virus. It wasn't, because by 9:30 that morning, Eben's body began to stiffen. His eyes rolled back in his head. And his wife immediately realized this has gone from bad to worse. Got him to the hospital. And then, you know, it always takes time to diagnose what's going on. And this took a long time to diagnose what was going on with Eben. He had a condition of E. coli bacterial meningitis that only one in every 10 million people ever get. Now, that's how hard it was to diagnose. And so here is this individual. Nobody could explain where he got it, how he got it. In fact, 90% of the people that get this die. And there really was not much hope for Eben's life. But, of course, the family continued to hope. Irony number one is that Eben Alexander was a brain surgeon, one of the most renowned brain surgeons. He had done his medical school at Duke University. He did his residency at in Boston at Massachusetts General. He taught for 15 years at Harvard Medical School. He had a fellowship in some kind of specific brain surgery, and had written over 200 chapters and articles in medical journals that had been published. Irony number two is this: the brain surgeon was not a spiritual man. His family was, but he wasn't. He said, look, healing comes from my knowledge and from my expertise and from who I am and what I've learned. And so he just treated everybody, and people came to him from all over. But he was an individual that just was self-sufficient until he ended up in a coma. This is what happened. Irony number two: Alexander was not a spiritual man. He was a realist. When he went into the coma, now this is, he's explaining what happened when he came out of the coma. He said, when I went into the coma, there was a swishing sound. In a flash, I went through an opening. I found myself completely in a new place that I knew nothing about. In this place were shimmering beings and they were flying across the sky, and he heard the sound of a huge, booming, glorious symphony of God. And he describes this as an explosion of light, of color, of love. And he said what blew across him was just this crashing wave of love. And he said there seemed to be no distance between me and God. He's not a spiritual man. He's just very self-reliant. He's a scientist. He figured it all out. But all of a sudden, he has a new experience like he's never had before. What's happening? Here's what's happening. His family and friends had rallied everybody they could to pray for him. They loved him. They had compassion on him. And the doctor just, he could do nothing for himself, but his friends could do for him what nobody else could do for him. They could pray for him. And individuals in the community that just knew of him started praying for him. And these, some, they prayed for so many days and they wondered, are our prayers getting through? Have you ever been there? Yes. Listen, I've been praying for an individual in the hospital that Cheryl and I has a friend that's been 6 weeks in the hospital with COVID, and it's up and down, up and down, up and down. Don't give up on your praying. On Thursday, all of a sudden, the coma was, the condition of his body was deteriorating, and the pastor, the family's pastor, called for an urgent, final push with as many people as would come to the hospital and pray. And they rallied. They came to the hospital. People started praying, and this was the breakthrough. Eben wrote this, I moved down through the great wall of clouds. There was murmuring all around me. I could not understand what was being said or what words these were. Then I realized countless beings were surrounding me, kneeling and spreading all around in an arc above me. Looking back on it, I now realize that half-seen, half-sensed hierarchies of beings were stretching out into the darkness above and below me, and they were praying for me. Do you remember Hebrews 12:1? We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and we can't see them. Wow. If we could see into the heavenlies, what would it be? On that Sunday morning, he woke up, and prayers brought him back to earth.
Praise God.
I'm telling you, we've got to come alongside her, and we've got a great cloud of witnesses. Why would we be sad? Why would we be? We got everything going for us. Why would we be sad? I'm going to ask the musicians to come on up. Y'all still look at me. Don't look at the musicians right here. Because what do you want to be? Joyful or pessimistic? What do you want to do? You want to fight all those battles by yourself, or do you want to come alongside her to be right there beside you? Who's cheerleading you on? Who are you cheering on? This great cloud of witnesses. The people that didn't even have a personal relationship with Eben Alexander prayed for him. God broke through. Listen, God is a God of miracles, but God, the miracle is he lives in us, and he speaks to us, and every time we read the Word of God, the author is present. The one who wrote this, the Holy Spirit, is present when we read this to interpret it to us. And so I'm just asking you today, would you consider an invitation to walking alongside somebody else as a cheerleader, and let the cheerleader, the Holy Spirit of God, to come alongside her, walk around with you. So it's a kind of a twofold invitation, because the rest of the invitation is I want you to commit to going back to the life group. You don't like your teacher? Look at me. I'm fixing to give you some great permission. If you don't like your teacher, go to another one. If you don't like the person you sit beside, go sit in some other class. Folks, we've got to get in a situation so that God can get loose and let the joy of the Lord be our strength.
Amen.
We've got to go there. So here's what I'm saying. God wants to send His Son to bestow delight on you.
That's it.
He wants to delight in you. So how do you do that? You first start by becoming a Christian. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what we have to do? My dad used these words. He says, son, you have to fess up. When I get caught doing something wrong, he said, you got to fess up. That's Georgia for confess. You got to confess up. Stop blaming somebody else for your sin. Lord, I assume the responsibility of my own sin. Not going to blame anybody else, it's me. I repent of my sin. I ask you to come into my life and save me and fill me with joy and give me a smile and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen?
Amen.
God, thank you. You are hanging out with us. You are loving us. You want to just turn your delight loose on us. God, I'm just asking you to pour out your delight on this fellowship that is called Neptune Baptist Church. And that you would cause us to, even in our dreams, to be encouraged and joyful. And that when we get up in the morning, that the first thing on our mind is, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name.